You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has been in discussions this past week over a bill adding English to the list of New Zealand's official languages. Currently, the list comprises only Te Reo Māori and New Zealand Sign Language. The bill is being criticised as pointless and a waste of time by opposition MPs, while its main supporter, NZ First Leader Winston Peters, suggests it is common sense. Also this past week has seen Housing Minister Chris Bishop announcing changes to Housing Plans PC 120. While the plans had previously proposed a minimum housing capacity of 2 million for Tamaki Makaurau, the quota has been lowered to 1.6 million. The change follows criticisms of the plan from some who say intensification could harm the character of their suburbs, especially in wealthier areas around central Auckland. For our weekly catch-up with ACT Simon Court, I asked about each of these issues, beginning with English as an official language. Talking about the proposal to make English an official language of Aotearoa, why is this proposal coming about and why now?
Well, most New Zealanders do speak English every day and they expect to see it used clearly and visibly in public services. This proposal for a bill to reinforce that English is an official language of New Zealand has been made into a culture war by some people who oppose it. But it's really just making sure that people can easily understand information they rely on, and the government is doing its part by clearly communicating with the public that it serves.
Yeah, I'd argue that the culture war part has been coming from both sides. We've seen both opposition parties accusing the government of wasting time by putting it through, but also Winston Peters, New Zealand First Leader, putting forward this bill claiming that it's a return to common sense, we're finally prioritising English. What do you make of that, I guess, the division being sown on both sides?
Well, I can't speak for Winston Peters, the comments he's made specifically, but it is a government bill, and the reason it's a government bill is because the government wants to make it very clear, and ACT supports this, that if there is going to be public communication by government or taxpayer-funded entities, that is in English as a priority, that is government policy, there are cabinet directives to that effect, so that means that when road signs go up telling you about the Manawa to Tararua Highway, which taxpayers have paid nearly $1 billion for, people who are looking for that road see Manawa to Tararua Highway up there, not some other name that might have been gifted to it, which, while it's important, cannot possibly be the thing people are looking for or searching for on Google Maps. And it's the same when people are going to the library. The word library indicates where the books are, notwithstanding that some councils have taken upon themselves to completely replace that word with a te reo word, which means the place where books are kept. This is government policy, and making sure that English language is an official language simply reinforce what is existing policy.
There's a few other things I want to get to there, but I just want to clarify something. You used the phrase Manawa to Tararua Highway as an example of English language signing, and that sort of speaks to me and to many people about the questionable reasoning for this change. A lot of our place names already are in Te Reo Māori. A lot of the words we use in everyday language to refer to lots of different things related to government especially are in Te Reo Māori. What is the reason behind, you know, insisting that we need to add English here? It seems like almost a symbolic gesture rather than anything else.
Absolutely not. English is the language that we require immigrants to New Zealand to be proficient in order to obtain a work visa. It's the language of law. If you go to court, you're seeking a judgment. The judges write that judgment in English. By referencing Manawa to Tararua Highway, they're place names. The New Zealand Geographic Board has chosen them. Using other vernacular or Te Reo Māori names or any other words to describe things that are most helpfully described in the most common language for the most number of people. I mean, remember, you know, English is the language spoken by the vast majority of New Zealanders, and so simply reinforcing that that's the language that we should use, like the term highway to indicate the road you're going on, doesn't seem much of a stretch or something that people would, you know, be able to object to, except if they really have some kind of philosophical objection to it.
You've mentioned all of these examples. You know, highways is a big one there, government directives, legislation in our courts. You say this bill is important. You say it's not symbolic. Does that mean that these things are not in English right now, that we can't view these things in English? Because, I mean, as far as I can tell, and as far as many other members of the public can tell, these things are predominantly or entirely in English at the moment.
Well, I think it's very important that the legislation reflects government policy. And, you know, this government has had a policy of putting the English term for public services or public documents, public buildings first, so that it's obvious what this thing is to the vast majority of people who speak English as a first language and many their only language. And so that's government policy. The legislation simply gives effect to it. Now, to say there's not a problem, I think obfuscates very real issues that New Zealanders have raised, rightly raised, when going into hospitals and seeing Māori terms, for example, te reo Māori terms being used to describe, being used essentially for wayfinding in the hospital. They find it confusing, particularly when they're often in an already vulnerable or confused state of mind. On the highway, if you're looking for the brand new nearly $1 billion highway, the Manawatu Tararua Highway, seeing a sign that describes Te Ahu Aturanga, while it's appropriate, you know, to have that that name somewhere, having it on the road sign, and that makes it very, very confusing for people who are to find the new $1 billion road. So, look, I mean, this is just practical. It's constructive. It shouldn't be a culture war issue. It's hard to understand why objectors are so vitriolic about it, when, you know, English is the most commonly spoken language in New Zealand.
All right. I want to move on now to the changes to PC 120. We've seen Housing Minister Chris Bishop announce the reduction of the minimum housing capacity for Auckland from 2 million to 1.6 million. Why has this change come about?
Well, the government has made good progress by adjusting the housing targets to better align growth with infrastructure. But we're not quite there yet, because while zoned capacity matters, infrastructure has to keep pace. And developers have been telling us that their biggest barriers to getting more homes built in Auckland are slower consents, exorbitant development charges, in some cases up to $130,000 per dwelling, having to be forked over to council even when the infrastructure is not there yet, and really costly connections to services like water and wastewater. So before Parliament signs off this change to better align the number of potential dwellings in Auckland to the infrastructure that's available, ACT is asking for one more thing, which is that Aucklanders get to see the maps that Auckland Council has where these 1.6 million dwellings are proposed to go.
There's claims that, or I guess there's been complaints from people seeing these PC 120 plans in wealthier suburbs such as, you know, Epsom, Ponsonby, some East Auckland suburbs as well, complaints that the housing intensification would affect the character of the neighbourhoods. Is this something that we should be considering when developing these housing policies?
Well, I think that's pretty typical of the characterisation that many people have made about the complaints. But I'll give you an example. I live in Te Aritu Peninsula. This area has been subject to intensive development over the past 5 or 6 years. And we've seen many, many single-family homes removed and replaced with multiple units. What that means is certainly the community is more vibrant, there's more people here, there's more demand for shops and services. But what's also happening is that there are vehicles parked all over the berms. Emergency services and trucks can't get through residential streets to make deliveries. We've got wastewater blowing out sometimes every 2 to 3 days. And, you know, what you've seen in Wellington Harbour is happening in the Henderson Creek 60 or 70 times a year. We've got all kinds of nasty things hanging in the mangroves. You know, when you go down to launch your kayak or launch your Wakarama, go down to the sailing club, it's horrendous. And so people are legitimately concerned the infrastructure is not there to keep up with development. And it doesn't matter where you live in Auckland, unless we solve that problem, it doesn't really matter what number goes on a plan.
Yeah, Simon, I think the problem here is not... that speaks to the problem here, you know. The fact that we're getting intensive developments in places like Te Atatū, in places like Avondale, which don't have the transport infrastructure to support a higher number of people. Somewhere like Epsom, you know, it's very close to the CBD, and many people travelling in every day, you know, could walk, could take the bus. And so, obviously, when you get huge developments out in Te Atatū, I mean, I'm based out west myself, and you can see that these big developments depend on people having cars. Why can't we instead have these big intensification projects in places close to the CBD?
Well, I think we can, and that's the purpose of the changes that the government is asking Auckland Council to consider and that are being proposed in legislation. Because you think about Epsom, the 7 train stations in Epsom, it makes sense to build up around the train stations. But you get a certain distance away from them because, remember, Epsom's quite a large electorate. You know, it doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense to be building 6, 8 or 12-storey apartment buildings in residential streets, which are currently single-storey homes. But, you know, we can have it all. Like, we don't have... This is not a binary choice. I think what's been offered or proposed to Aucklanders is actually, instead of being allowed to grow up and out, Plan Change 120 essentially ring-fences the existing metropolitan urban limit, ignores the fact that there's tens of thousands of hectares of developable land where people want to live, in fact, are building and living, tens of thousands of them out in the northwest in places like Kumia and Huapai and Waimauku, where the infrastructure is not being provided to them by Auckland Council. So we've got all of these different issues that we need to resolve. Yes, intensification around transport nodes makes a lot of sense, but we also need space for people who want to park a boat on the front lawn and put a trampoline on the back lawn. We can have all of these things. We've just got to get the balance right, and simply zoning to put, you know, 2 million people, 2 million new homes into the existing metropolitan urban area was never going to work.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about English as an official language of Aotearoa and the PC120 changes for Auckland.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.